Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q1 FY24 conference call of Clean Science and Technology Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Siddharth Sikchi. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Sikchi.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone. I am happy to connect with all of you again to discuss the performance of our company in Q1 FY24. Let us just talk about a little bit on the business environment. The current business environment is converse to what we witnessed last year. Last year was marked by high inflation, disrupted supply chain, leading to higher freight rates and geopolitical tensions. Due to these factors, raw material and end product prices were relatively higher. In rising price environment and interrupted supply chain, companies were stocking up their inventory upfront, leading to a higher sales volume and realization. However, this year till date is marked by benign inflation, steady supply chain, and relatively stable geopolitical environment. Consequently, raw material and end product prices are correcting compared to higher base of last year. In declining price environment, companies tend to go for destocking, which leads to lower sales volume. To summarize, last year was a seller's market, while current year is a buyer's market. Companies with better technology, backward integration, and lean cost structure would continue to report higher percentage margins. A quick on financial highlights. As alluded during last con call, following key trends have played out during Q1 FY24. Raw material prices have corrected across the board. With correction in raw material prices, there is a moderate correction in end product prices too. Led by demand slowdown and inventory destocking, volumes are impacted severely. Although we don't believe there is any significant loss in our market share. Revenues for Q1 FY24 declined by 20% to 185 crores against 232 crores during Q1 FY23. Revenue mix was 63% export and 37% domestic. EBITDA decreased to rupees 77 crore against 91 crore during Q1 FY23. Led by better product mix, benign input prices, and prudent operating cost structure, company could report higher EBITDA margin of 41.3% compared to 39.4% during Q1 FY23. Higher EBITDA margin despite decreased revenue base underscores our unique technology prowess and unusually prudent operating cost. On standalone basis, profit after tax was 58 crores against rupees 70 crores during Q1 FY23. It is worthwhile to note that last year, company recorded one-time gain of rupees 9 crore during Q1 FY23, which got adjusted in the consolidated P&L. On consolidated basis, PAT is lower by only 6% at rupees 59 crore despite 20% decline in revenues. We are pleased to report that PAT margins are higher at 31.6% during Q1 FY24 as against 30.4% during Q1 FY23. Sales profile. Performance chemicals continued to be the mainstay, with the segment contributing 67% revenues. pharma and agro intermediates contribution decreased to 19% of revenues, and FMCG chemicals contribution increased to 13% of revenues, and FMCG segment witnessed marginal revenue growth. CAPEX update. We have incurred CAPEX of rupees 90 crores during this quarter. Of this, 85 crore were invested in the subsidiary CFCL, and all CAPEX continues to be incurred through our internal accruals. Initial civil construction activity is completed at Clean Finochem Limited. Erection of equipment, pipe fitting, etc. has commenced at CFCL, and the progress is on track as planned earlier. Outlook, this could be a year of gradual recovery with demand bottoming out during the first half of financial year. Declining RM and fuel prices along with demand slowdown remain key short-term challenge. But as a company, we will continue to focus internally to improve our yields and operational efficiencies. With our strong R&D pipeline, our endeavor is to continue de-risking our product portfolio and geographical presence. Thank you so much. We are now open for Q&A.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking questions. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. To ask questions, please press star and one on your touchtone telephone. The first question is from the line of Sanjesh Jain from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, Siddharth. Thanks for taking my question. I got few. Apologies for that. First, on the MEHQ and BHA, can you help us understand what's the volume decline for this quarter? And how are you looking at the market? Because it appears that China revenue for us has declined even more steeper at 47%. What's happening on the China side? It's just the destocking, or you're also seeing few local players getting active in the China market now? So that's my first question.
So, Sanjesh, on cumulative basis, there is the revenue degrowth is on account of two-thirds on volume and one-third on price realization. To the best of our understanding, there is no new producer of MEHQ or BHA in China. However, because of destocking and lower demand, the offtake has been lower than anticipated.
Okay, so it's purely because of the lower offtake. It's very clear to understand that there is no new local producer who has just got aggressive or anything like that.
Not at the moment.
Got it. Second question is on the pharma agrochemical intermediate business. That appears to have fallen even more sharply than our performance chemical, while the pharma companies are doing fairly okay. Compared to the agrochemical, we haven't seen destocking or any of those things on the pharma company. At least their commentary doesn't tell that. So what's happening on that side for us? It's more of TBHQ, which is, sorry, PBQ, which is hurting us on that segment?
No. PBQ has no impact. See, there are two major pharma products. I mean, Guaiacol is a major pharma product, okay, which goes into cough syrups. Now, with these current issues which happened in Indonesia, Iraq, where cough syrups from supplied from India had, health issues of citizens of those countries. That is why all these regulations are correcting for Indian suppliers of cough syrups. And hence, there is a sluggish demand for this sector. On the other hand, our antiretroviral, which is a DCC, has almost peaked 80% of our plant utilization. So this is really only in particular to this particular product because of these cough syrup issues, which I'm sure you would have read in newspaper over the last few months.
Right. Do you think it's a permanent loss for this player, or and somebody is getting replaced, or you think these guys will come back? Because that if you read that news, that appears to be quite serious.
It is. So what Indian government is also doing is so those companies which were making in North India, those few of those companies have been banned, have been closed. But there are organized players in this business, say like a Granules or Genex and other companies, which will, I think, get those market shares from those people. But of course, the customers sitting in overseas, say namely Indonesia and Iraq and those parts, will again need time and confidence to regain and come back to India. But definitely they have to come back because of the price benefit what Indians can offer compared to a European or a Taiwanese player.
So this recovery will be, I think, will be a slightly more back-ended than the destocking one. That will be a fair assumption, right?
Please, can you go again?
I'm telling you, performance can recover earlier. Probably pharma segment may take a little bit more time for us. Will that be an assumption fair?
It depends on, so this particular cough syrup issue is a little serious. So based on it, but we are very hopeful that performance chemical will rise back quickly compared to this pharma. But then we are also trying to get more share of overseas customers, like mainly in Taiwan and in China. And we hope they will compensate for the loss of Indian customers, which we have accounted for.
Got it. The next on the health side of the business, we were expecting some revenue booking in the Q1. Can you give some color on the health side of revenue?
To see health, I mean, it is taking a little longer because of the slower demand of master batches producers globally. So the approval processes are there. People have approved our product. We are getting repeat orders, but the volumes, so if India was importing 3,000 tons, today the imports have also gone down by more than 50%. Have gone down. Hence, the demand has become slower, but we are quite optimistic that as and when people are trying our product, the volumes will gradually increase. I think today we are at about 40, 50, less than 50% of our current capacity is what we are running. We hope in the next 2 quarters, we should at least touch 50% of our capacity utilization.
So in next quarter, we expect to reach 50% capacity utilization.
Next 2 quarters.
Assuming by Q3 end or Q4, we should be ticking, say, 1,000 metric, right? We have put to 1,000 metric.
Q4, our new facility of HALS will also begin with other products lined up.
Okay. Fair enough. Couple of questions for Prateek. First on the other income, it appears to have gone up again. Can you help us understand what's driving the other income?
Other income, there are two items. First is Forex, where we have reported a 5.6 crore gain this time. And the other is treasury income, close to 6 crore gain. Apart from that, there is no non-recurring item.
So this 6 crore is recognition because of the completion of the period of the investment, or it's on the mark-to-market basis?
No, yeah, it's mark-to-market. It's treasury investment. It's realized and unrealized gains both. Because the yields have corrected during this quarter from 750 to 710.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that has led to some additional booking of the
Yes.
other income.
80% of our investments are into debt mutual funds. So as the yields correct, we get mark-to-market benefit there.
Got it. Second question is on the operating cost. Can you help us bridge the operating cost from last quarter to this quarter? What are the line items which is driving a 20% sequential drop in the other expenses? Because I think fuel costs have largely been stable.
So actually,
freight costs have normalized to pre-COVID level. I know volumes have fallen, that will be one, but more color will be helpful.
No. So in fact, year on year, power and fuel cost has almost halved. So last year, we reported almost 20. Sorry, sequentially.
Yeah.
Yeah, so sequentially, I mean, Q4, we reported a power and fuel cost of close to 18 crores. This quarter, we have reported a P&F of close to 12 crores. That was a big impact. And in other expense, there is a small CSR expense, which that number was sizable during Q4 and not much bigger in Q1.
There is no change in the freight cost, I suppose.
No, freight anyways is not a very big cost component.
Okay, okay. But this explains only what, 6 crores and CSR and the few. Okay. That, no. That clearly covers it. No. It covers it. Covers it. Pratik. No. It covers it. No. That's it from my side. Thanks, Siddharth. Thanks, Pratik, for all the answers and best of luck for the coming quarters.
Thank you, Sanjesh.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ankur Periwal from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, Siddharth. Thanks for taking the question. Firstly, on the pricing bit, you did mention, you know, 1/3 revenue decline is led by pricing. And you did mention in the initial remarks that some bit of pricing correction may still happen. So are we largely done, you know, in terms of pricing correction, or is it moving in sync with the RM prices? Your thoughts there.
It's still moving in sync with the RM prices, but if I have to believe that, I think this is the worst price level we have seen in the history. So I do not see further erosion of prices. But unless there is again a sharp decline in RM prices, which at the moment are again on upward swing because of the increase in crude oil prices. So all the raw materials have again started inching up. So I feel the RM prices will not, the finished product prices should not go down further than this. It's my belief.
Sure. And the bigger issue here is inventory destocking only, or there is, you know, a significant cut in demand as well, which probably can take slightly longer time to recover?
Both. I think there is destocking, and as well as there is a slower demand globally. So both are contributing to the volume reduction. And I think it will take minimum of one, maximum of two more quarters to get the business line and back on track.
Okay. And you did mention that we have not lost any market share in India or globally. So it's more a market decline, which is where the impact is coming in.
Yes, this is to our understanding. I mean, maybe a little bit here and there, but not on major percentage levels.
Sure. On the, you know, with this, given the demand slowdown and probably another maybe couple of quarters there, considering the capex that we had already planned for HALS as well as the other product, the 200 crore capex there, any changes there? That is one. And secondly, on HALS specifically, we had launched only two products earlier. How do we see the new product launches going ahead? Will it be deferred or, you know, timeline?
So question one, the capex plan is still on. There is no deviation from that plan. That is point one. Point two, on HALS, the new range of product as planned will start in December, which are the other series product. So the plan remains constant. There is no change in plan because of the change in demand scenario, because these are market dynamics. Things will move up and down, but our projections and our plans of projects will not be changed for this.
Sure. The earlier two products were largely focusing on the domestic market. The newer ones will be both export and domestic?
Yes, they will be both domestic and export. Again, first time in India.
That's right, yeah. Okay, great. That's it from my side. Thank you and all
the best. Thank you, Ankur.
The next question is from the line of Rohit from Samatva Investments. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. So I just, the first question I had was on the TBHQ part. So, you know, there's a listed competitor in India and they're comparatively larger than us. So what are our plans, you know, in terms of expanding that product? Do we plan to forward integrate into blends or anything, or how are we going with that part of the market?
So currently, TBHQ is a decent market for us. We are not planning any expansion. And the major purpose of this TBHQ plant was to cater to the demand of our existing customers of BHA and AP. That is one. And number two, we have no intention in going into blends because those are B2C markets. And I don't see our company is equipped enough to even target the B2C markets. And we would rather like to focus on B2B businesses.
Okay. Sir, and the hydroquinone, are we sourcing it domestically or from the international market?
Yes, yes, we are sourcing hydroquinone from overseas market.
Overseas market. Great, sir. Thank you so much, sir. I'm wishing you all the best. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nikhil Mishra from Five Star Investments. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, boss.
Yes, sir. I just wanted to know about the performance chemical business, how it is doing, and about the FMCG chemical business. How is the demand in the China and how it is going to impact our company?
So as I mentioned, performance chemical, I just mentioned that two-thirds of the volume, the reduction in our revenue is because of volume. China is slow at the moment and hence we are seeing volumes degrowth. And of FMCG chemicals, we have seen stability because I think the current markets are quite stable for FMCG chemicals. But of course, since the RM prices have come down, so the prices of end products have also come down to that extent. But otherwise, those are decent, stable businesses for us.
Okay. And have we lost any marquee client because of this scenario?
Because of which scenario?
Because of this demand scenario and slowdown scenario.
So if there is a slowdown and if the customer does not need the material, then we cannot force and push the material. So to that extent, yes, we have a volume degrowth.
Okay. Can you please name the FMCG companies which you are supplying to?
We are not supplying or we are not providing customer names, please. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to participants that you may press star and one to join the question queue. The next question is from the line of Arun Prasad from Avendus Spark. Please go ahead.
Yep. Thank you. Thanks for the opportunity. Siddharth, my first question is on the glycol situation you are having with respect to the cough syrup. So wouldn't this be a problem for you in ramping up in MEHQ also? Because without the ability to dispose glycol in the future, MEHQ production and also is going to be difficult, right?
That is a valid point. But at the moment, since even MEHQ is on slower terms, so we are able to cater and manage both the products together. However, in longer run, if we see that this is a permanent problem, we will look for other outlet of glycol which goes into FMCG chemicals, or think of manufacturing something ourselves where we can use our glycol captively.
Right, right. Will it be very capital intensive, or do you have ready-made markets if you have to go for the plan B?
So if we go for a plan B, one is a ready-made market, other is a market where we have to establish ourselves.
Right. But the time taken to execute this plan B, will it be in weeks or months or years? Because till then the growth in MEHQ will also be difficult, even if the end market turns around, right?
I think plan B, in plan B also we have two plans, plan B1, plan B2. So plan B1 will be quicker, plan B2 will take relatively longer time.
Sure.
Sorry, you can call plan B and plan C then. Sorry.
No issues. Thanks. My second question is on HAL. Now that you have run this plan for the last 6 months and a reasonable understanding and everything, the costing is at par with what you envisaged during the project conceptualization stage. Is it better or
how do you see that? Costs are now more or less fixed. I think what we are anticipated and what we are quite closer. Of course, only the deal is since we have to enter a market at a time when the demand is suppressed. So the customer expects a little bit more discount compared to what is available in the market. So I think only that is a little tricky situation, but otherwise we are seeing, the margins which we are anticipated are in line with what we are seeing currently.
And you think even at the this current low price scenario, you will be competitive and able to substitute the imports into the country as far as the domestic market is concerned?
We have no choice, boss.
Okay. Now, and I understand we have no choice, but will we be making money similar to the levels of the current business?
No.
In terms of margins?
The plants are still running at 40-30% capacity utilization. My fixed cost still remains the same. So the day I ramp these capacities and when market prices, we start getting prices equal to my competitors is when we will start making decent amount of money.
Right. And the other part of this halves is you are integrated up to say acetone and ammonia and all, but sebacic acid is another raw material that you do have to consume. Any chance for you probably say 2 years, 3 years down the line where you can backward integrate in this as well, or you always have to depend upon the outside purchase?
The sebacic acid, what you're talking about, right?
Yes.
No, so we are seriously contemplating on how, because castor oil is easily available in India and it's a derivative of castor oil. So we're just trying to understand whether it makes sense to even make for our captive consumption. Right. But right now we are currently buying from the domestic or even import markets.
Okay, so that is an additional, you will be able to capture the chain margins if you are able to go back into that.
Absolutely. If you are able to do further backward, I'm sure we will have a better competitive advantage over our competitors. Because to our understanding, no other producer of 770 is making sebacic acid himself.
Right. Understood. And lastly, on PBQ, we still see a lot of PBQ getting imported into this country. So is it like a different segment or a quality is different or we are not able to substitute or we don't have capacity? Can you just throw some light on this?
Yes. So there is a specific grade which is coming from UK, which is, the basic issue is the color of this product. We are still not there with the color which is required for this particular customer. But I think in lab and pilot, we have understood what was going wrong. And now we are planning to start to procure those equipments where we can get the exact quality which was currently imported from overseas. So I think it is about a matter of time, say probably about 3 months, when I think we should be able to get similar quality which is imported into India.
And what is the current utilization in PBQ?
Sorry?
No, I was asking what is the current utilization in PBQ?
It is quite low. It is about 20-odd%. It is because of this particular factor that we need to improve the color of the product, which now we have realized, and probably in the next 3 months we will be able to restart our supplies to the customers who are looking for this absolute color, yellow product color.
Right. You have to procure HQ from outside to manufacture PBQ. Does it have any impact on this, or is it irrespective of where you purchase, you can still manage to tinker in your R&D and deliver this to this potential customer?
So if you buy from decent sources of hydroquinone, I don't think there is any issue with on that aspect.
Okay. Understood. Thanks for that. Very, very helpful. Thank you very much. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rohan Gupta from Nuvama. Please go ahead.
Hey, Siddharth. Hi, good evening, and thanks for the opportunity for asking questions. Just one thing, that our product basket is more dependent on China, basically, that we do the products which are first time in India, and probably China was one of the key manufacturers. In the current environment, do we see that the China coming back and absolutely putting the realizations again much below probably on some of their product cost also. Do we see that there is a threat or underlying threat in our business model right now as long as the Chinese manufacturer remain aggressive? Or do we see that our new product development and the process which we follow, the green chemistry, will have an advantage even if the Chinese players dump the cost, then also our product acceptance will be there in the market even at a higher prices?
So, first of all, there is no higher price. We have to match what is available in the market. So, that becomes, that is one issue. But secondly, if you see, looking at our Q1 numbers, that that we have not anticipated any new Chinese player at the moment in our product segment. But of course, because the demand is slower in China, and because ultimately they are also dependent on Europe and US, and hence in that, to that tune, I think there is a volume degrowth. I think the volumes should come back to normalcy in Q3, Q4.
So it's just only volume degrowth problem and not that Chinese players or producers dumping the material in the market. My question was that, are we better in terms of cost curve than the Chinese players, so that if that what we are hearing in many other products also, that they are dumping the product and even willing to sell the product at a much lower cost or prices because of the government is focusing more on the manufacturing and they want to focus more on the GDP growth and also irrespective of their cost structure, they may dump the product. So just wanted to understand, if we follow a differentiated process, a different chemistry, does that give us some edge over the Chinese manufacturer where our cost of production is higher, lower with them? Or since we follow the green chemistry, that's why the customer still will prefer our product even if it is a higher price? So that you already answered, that we have to match the cost in the market, so there is no arbitrage opportunity there. But do we have a lower cost curve than the other manufacturer because of the process which we follow?
In some of the products, of course, because we have established over the long period of time, we feel we have a cost benefit because these are depreciated plants. These plants have been working. We are approved at majority of the locations, so of course. But however, when we come to newer product like the HALS or the 770, where we have to compete with the Chinese players as well in the market. And of course, if they dump product below the below their cost, then of course it is going to be a difficult, not just for my industry, but for any new startup of that product to compete with established Chinese players. But of course, because of our in-house grown processes and products, we are able to still compete and try to recover or get market share wherever we can.
Thanks, Siddharth. That's it from my side. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Abhijit Akella from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening and thanks so much for taking my questions. The capacity utilization for, you know, our key products or maybe segment-wise, if you, you know, might be able to just share where we are running at right now across the business.
Yeah, hi Abhijit. So performance chemicals, the capacity utilization has dipped to close to 60%. This is primarily because of addition of HALS capacity of 2000, which is running below the average utilization level. FMCG segment has done really well. It is running close to 70%. And pharma and agro is running close to 62%.
Got it. No, thank you. That's helpful. So, weighed down by HALS. It's not as if there's been a major slippage in the other mainstay products, right? Like MEHQ or, you know, BHA.
There has been a degrowth in MEHQ, BHA also, but HALS is, because it's a 2000 ton capacity which we have added into performance chemical, and that got commercialized during Q3, Q4. So that is also weighing down.
Right, right. Sure, understood. And the price erosion that we are seeing is basically like, you know, just weak demand, and in that context, suppliers competing to, you know, sell out their material. Is that essentially the main reason? And so in that context, I mean, do you see it continuing for another one or two quarters, or are we sort of near the bottom now?
I think it will extend for another quarter because, I mean, we are already in August, so we can see that pain even in this quarter. But hopefully the market should rebound and things should start looking upward in quarter three and quarter four is the hope.
Got it. So, from a margin perspective, 2Q could be a little bit, more subdued compared to what we've seen here in 1Q?
Obviously, it will be very difficult to comment on margin perspective because, you know, this quarter also, because the closing stock prices were much lower than the consumption prices. So there was a hit in that sense also on our margins. So it could be at par or could be better also from margin perspective. And anyways, we are again commenting that at EBITDA margin, we are better by 200 basis compared on year-on-year basis.
Right. Sure, got it. And, demand outlook for the new HALS series that we are going to launch by end of the year, you know, the 15,000 tons. By CY24, should we expect that things sort of move towards a little bit more of normalcy in terms of the demand scenario there?
Volume, I think, assuming we start the facility in Q4, we expect to resolve. Because it is first time this facility is installed, we'll look about 2 or 3 months, we'll go in resolving the teething issues. And probably another quarter might go in customer validation because this would be an entirely new zone of business or new products which will enter the Indian market. So I think Q2, H2, FY25 is where we should start seeing revenues coming out of that facility.
Right, but I mean the target of trying to fully use up all the HALS capacity in maybe 3-4 years, that is still a target we are working towards.
Absolutely.
Okay, understood. Thank you so much, Siddharth. Thanks, Pratik. All the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Deepak Singh from Hexaware. Please go ahead. Mr. Deepak Singh from Exaware, you may go ahead with the question. There seems to be no response from the line of Mr. Deepak Singh. We'll move to the next question. The next question is from the line of Gopu Surya from Anand Rathi. Please go ahead. Mr. Surya from Anand Rathi. There seems to be no response on the line of Mr. Surya either. The next question is from Dhruv Muchal from HDFC Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Thank you so much. Sir, hypothetically, assuming this cough syrup and the glycol issue continues for longer, probably the cough syrup issue, I'm just wondering, the demand for cough syrup still remains, right? If not from India, somebody else will be supplying. So the glycol demand effectively overall should remain. So I'm just wondering, if not from, not to India, how easy or difficult is it, to export these glycols for somebody who's making cough syrups outside?
No, so fine. The best part is that we are approved with all the producers of guaifenesin, be it in China or be it in Taiwan. So there are basically three country producers, India, Taiwan and China. We are approved with all the customers. So if India loses some of the market share, it will either go to these customers, and we are approved at both the locations. So if not from India, we will get this from outside. So hence we feel that eventually that should come back and we should start, seeing that growth again back in Guaifenesin.
But exporting it is not very difficult. I mean, you can probably, there will be some freight cost element. They would want to source it
at cheaper, but otherwise. Freight cost is below 10 cents.
Okay. Perfect. Got it. Thanks so much. That's all.
Thank you.
Before we take the next question, a reminder once again to participants that you may press star and one to join the question queue. Participants who wish to ask questions, please press star and one on your touchtone telephone. A reminder once again to participants that you may press star and one to ask questions. The next question is from the line of Dagan, from who is an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I have one question. This is Rajiv from Investing. So, in case you mentioned that your volumes are 60%, 62%, 70%, that's the production volumes that you have. So, if it has not gone to market, has it gone to inventory?
Yeah, what we mentioned was if there is a 20% drop in revenue, so 14% of that, which is 70%, came because of decline in volume, and balance came because of decline in realization.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask questions may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. The next question is from the line of Rajasekhar MS, who is an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Good evening. Thanks for the opportunity. I just wanted to check out, where do you see your company in the 5 years time from now on? Because I see that the utilization is low. But you see, what do you anticipate in future?
Please repeat your question. We are not able to hear you clearly.
No. I just wanted to know, where do you see our company 5 years hence from now on? Because now I see that the capacity utilization is low. So what do you anticipate in future? That's one of my questions.
Utilizations are low during this quarter because of, and these are again temporary things. We don't see this as a challenge for a 5 year outlook. And I mean, the outlook remains like we are launching products where we are probably first time manufacturers in India, domestic market, and we have some advantage on the manufacturing process. So we are, as we have always been mentioning, we are process innovators and we'll continue to do that.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. To ask questions, please press star and one on your touchtone telephone. The next question is from Anil Kumar, who's an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi. So last time you had mentioned, I'm sorry, I have missed some part of the presentation earlier. So last time you had mentioned that companies are de-stocking because of which there could be slower demand in Q1 or Q2. So do you foresee that it will be over by Q2, or do you think it is going to prolong, considering the fact that China is now opened up, that they are also trying to dump their stocks, which we had there, which they had there earlier? Thank you.
As of now, as of date, we are anticipating it could be one quarter. As sir mentioned, it could be up to two quarters where this destocking or lower demand phenomena could play out. At probably Q2 or Q3, it could bottom out.
And the second question I have for you, like probably the revenue realization of this half series will start from Q4 of this year, financial year, right?
Yeah, and so the
how about the other series of how about the other series of the half series that will be launching and how is the plan?
Yeah, so the plan remains in for subsidiary. The revenue should start contributing from Q4 of this financial year.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nandini Maheshwari from Mirabilis Investment. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Sir, I wanted to know about the second round of CAPEX that you have mentioned about in the last quarter as well, and about the new performance chemicals. So could you talk a bit more about the kind of products which would be entailed here, and like, is this still on the plan given the demand?
So we are specifying, we are only mentioning the segments, we are not talking about the actual products name. So these are again in performance chemical intermediates for pharma and agro.
Okay. So it'll be spread across the
across the kind of industries we are already into.
Okay, yes, that's all. That's all.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder once again to participants that you may press star and one to ask questions. Participants who wish to ask questions may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Deepak, who's an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Great. So actually, I have a question regarding contract manufacturing opportunities. So since I know in Europe and in China, many factories are closing out, at least in Europe, I know, and many of these customers are looking for manufacturing partners in India or in other emerging countries where the labor cost is not that much. So are you also looking for such opportunities, or are you already working on them? Thank you.
So our existing set of customers have some ideas. We are thinking on those lines, but nothing is concrete to discuss at this point of time.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. So that was the last question in queue. I would now like to hand the conference back to Mr. Siddharth Sikshi for closing comments.
So thank you all for taking time out to discuss the performance of the company for Q1 FY24. And we look forward to meeting you all again once we present our Q2 FY24 results. Till then, have a good one and take care and good evening. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Clean Science and Technology Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect your lines.